Indeed, we go out to the Hall and Capitas fan hotline where we find our friend Ed Bouchette. Ed, how are you today?
Good morning, Joe. I'm fine. Thank you. Hello, Ronnie.
Ed. Joe, where did I get that? Joe,
hi, Ron.
Ed, how are you?
Joseph is my middle name, Ron.
I never knew that.
And Edward is mine.
I never knew that.
Really?
That's an amazing stat.
No.
How about that?
No, it's Joseph Raymond Starkey. Anyways, Ed, what's your concern level with this game? Is it the so-called classic trap game or no?
I don't have concerns. As you know, Joe, I just watch. But if I were the Steelers coaches, I'd want to stop the running game, and which they haven't been able to do a whole lot of lately. And I'd want to run the ball, too. Even though some think they don't have to run the ball, I'm not in that camp.
Well, one of the guys on this show is in that camp, and make your case why Mr. Starkey might be wrong.
Well, for one thing, you can demoralize a team if you're running on them. For another, to me, it's just a big part of the game. Four of the last five Super Bowl winners were really good running teams. And through the years, I think that bears it out. You know, that you still, even when the Patriots had Brady, they still had some decent running games up there. They did it with a lot of different backs, and I'm not so sure the Steelers shouldn't try doing it that way, too.
Well, let's talk about that, Ed. Did you think that Benny Snell should have gotten more play the other day? And it sounds like you think that, especially maybe once McFarland is back, that the ball should be distributed a little more in the running game?
I think so, but I'm not. I haven't seen enough of McFarland, Joe, to say yes. And there's one other factor that goes into putting a running back there, and it's blitz protection. James Conner's become real good at that. I was watching him do it the other day, and I don't know. I don't think McFarland has that down yet. It may be one of the reasons they're reluctant to use him more. And I'm not sure where Benny is on that, but, Connor still has a better average yard per carry than either of those two, although the other two have smaller samples. But I think Snell is like 3.6, somewhere around there, and or 3.8, and Connor's 4.2. Now, again, there's more that goes into that, too, but just stop running Connor sideways, you know?
Ed, where's the blame
in, Ron?
On? Go ahead.
What?
I think we were going to ask the same question, and I apologize profusely. But was that Connor's fault for breaking those outside, or do you think that was designed?
Oh, I think some were designed, yes. It's not, I don't know that some of those looked designed for him to go out there, and some he probably took on his own. But either way, he's not Le'Veon Bell back there looking, you know, hesitating and looking for holes. He's the kind of runner needs to hit the hole, not dance around.
Right.
And
I was going to ask
him. He starts doing that.
A similar question to what Joe did. I mean, they haven't been able to run the ball the last 3 weeks. They had some success earlier on. Where do you put the blame? Is it on Connor? Is it on the running backs, or more on the offensive line? Would you grade Connor and the offensive line?
Well, I think last week, Ron, we saw a classic, and they've all brought this up. It's been written. I wrote it, and everybody probably did, that the Bengals were, gathered around the line of scrimmage and trying to stop the run like Jerome Bettis was still back there in his prime. That was part of the reason. And I think that's part of the reason there was nothing on the outside, too. Even the jet sweeps weren't working. They tried to pull those off a little too much on Sunday. But they're sitting there nitpicking. That was a pretty solid win on Sunday. And Joe, your original question about a trap game, I've never believed in trap games, but I did talk to Joe Green before they went to Dallas, and he on his own brought it up. He said he was worried that that could be a trap game, and he detailed what the thinking is going into a game like that. And he says that it's human nature. You don't do it consciously. It's subconsciously. You know, the Ravens are coming in here Thursday.
after that game, and they just came off a big win. They're unbeaten. They're playing a team that's 1-8. You know, it seeps in, and Joe said you have to fight that, but it does. It seeps in.
Ed Bouchette on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. You had a wonderful story, Ed, maybe 2 weeks ago on the Steelers, and they might finally get the Dolphins. Now, the chances from Football Outsiders of the Steelers going 16-0 back then were 1.7%, but I saw they were a little less than 5% before they beat Cincy. Now I imagine they're closing in on around 10% or so. What do you think the chances are? We batted this around yesterday for a while. I put it at like 25-30%. Still not a great chance, but the schedule just lines up here in some ways.
Yeah, that's another thing I talked to Joe about, is going through a perfect season. I'm sorry, I talked to Chad Brown about going through a perfect season, because he went through one with New England. And how, you know, Mike Tomlin's been talking about they get their best shots because they're the Steelers. You know, we're the Steelers, we get the best shots. Other team's best shot. Well, Chad saw that with New England. You know, New England's too is getting everybody's best shot. But when you're unbeaten, boy, a team like the Jaguars at 1-8 would love to be the first team to knock you off. Love it. And it's just a little extra, you know, maybe a little extra skip in your step while you're preparing to play the Steelers because you're unbeaten. And I don't know that I like their chances, Joe, but 25% isn't a bad percentage. I would go along with that. You know, there's two huge roadblocks to me is Baltimore, but they get them at home. But that other game at Buffalo, you know, Buffalo is a pretty darn good team.
Ed, I mean, it's human nature, I think, for guys to think about it maybe when they're not at practice or something like that. Do you think it's something Tomlin addresses, or will he have to address it as they go on a little bit closer to this?
It's, Ron, it's too early, I think, to talk about it. It's like the elephant in the room, though. And another thing, Chad Brown was wonderful, and you know, you've talked to him, you guys, through the years. He's really was a good interview. And anyway, he said that it was late in the season, 14th week or some 15th week, somewhere like that, and the 07 Patriots were unbeaten. And Belichick brought in a Boston area comedian Saturday night. Instead of having a team meeting, he just had this guy perform. And he ripped on Belichick, and he ripped on Brady, and he said they had them all laughing. And Chad says, I went back to my room saying, what a brilliant idea that was. It kind of helped relieve some of the pressure. So he thought maybe Mike Tomlin needed to do something like that. Maybe not bring in a comedian, but, you know, something to take the pressure off if it gets that far.
Well, Ed, part of my theory, and I want to get your opinion on this, as to why I give it a better chance than maybe an odds maker would, is two other things. One, the fresh knowledge that they've collapsed each of the last 2 years down the stretch. And two, the Chiefs are right behind them. So to my way of, and three, I should mention three because it's the biggest factor of all, I think this team's still going to get better. So you put all those three things together, and I think what you're going to get is an extremely sort of focused, mature team going down the stretch. I think the road game that they were poised to lose was Dallas, and by miracle almost, it didn't happen. What do you think of all those factors?
Yeah, I agree with you, Joe, except that they have been in a few tight games that I'm not going to use the word lucky to win, but maybe fortunate to win. And I don't know that you can keep doing that. You know, the Baltimore game, for example, was one. But you know, that's a darn good team, Baltimore. And Tennessee's another one, another darn good team. But I think it'll eventually catch up to them, but you know, because if you're giving them 25%, it means 75% they won't. So I do think it'll catch up to them. Kansas City is right on their heels. And, hey, maybe there's not going to be a bye week anyway, the way the NFL's going.
Ed, I'm still of the belief that Kansas City is the team to beat, and they are better than the Steelers at this point. That's just my opinion. I don't know that everybody shares that. Do you? How do you rate where the Steelers are compared to Kansas City?
I'd rate them number two, Ron. I'd rate the Chiefs one. The Chiefs are the Super Bowl champs, and yes, they lost at home to the Raiders, and they almost lost at home to Carolina, but I'd still have them up there. You know, their offense is so good, and they added Le'Veon Bell. Who knows how much he's going to help them? You know, you're almost going to have to beat them 40-34 or something like that. But the Steelers' defense, I think, is better than theirs. It would be a nice matchup. I saw where Andrew contacted a bookie or something, and he said, "What would you put right now as a favorite of those teams?" And he said the Chiefs by a point and a half. It'd be a great AFC title game, wouldn't it?
Sure would.
Man, I'll say. What about the rest of the league? We were going through this earlier today, Ed. Of all the other teams, I think we'd probably all agree that after Kansas City, Baltimore would represent the biggest threat in the AFC. Maybe you don't agree with that. But after the Ravens, like, is there a team that stands out that maybe you wouldn't want to see in your first playoff game? Maybe a Dolphins or a Raiders, a Bills. Who's the other team that stands out after Baltimore?
Yeah, probably all three of those you just mentioned, Joe. I mean, Miami's really coming on. You know, Flores right now, Brian Flores, their coach, is behind Mike Tomlin in the odds on who's going to win Coach of the Year for the job he's doing down there. And they have a rookie quarterback, so I think the Steelers could handle that. I'd say Buffalo. I think Buffalo's really a pretty good team. Not that the Raiders aren't. You know, going in and beating Kansas City was some feat. But those three, yeah. I don't think New England wouldn't scare me at all. I'm trying to think. Tennessee, you know, you wouldn't want to have to face Henry again, I don't think.
Ed, before we
but
let you go,
I got to ask
you about Antonio back in the news. Again, it looks like he's in a little bit of trouble. I don't know if the league is going to do anything about this. This incident where he apparently broke a camera and threw a bicycle. Is the guy, Joe had asked this question earlier. Do you think Antonio will finish the season with the Tampa Bay Bucs?
You know, Ron, I thought he, for the second time, I thought it would happen when he went to Oakland. I thought it would happen this year with the Bucs. I thought he would knuckle down, realize the chance now he has, and just go with the program. But this, whether the league does anything or not on this incident, this shows that that's not necessarily the case, that he's not going to change his ways, and that something's going to happen. Yeah, I think something will happen. And it may be on the field. You know, he may have a big blow-up with Brady if he overthrows him again for a touchdown.
Ed, I know Ron and I agree. You're a wonderful man, and thank you for coming on.
Is he still living with Tom Brady, by the way?
I believe he is.
He is.
Oh, my.
I don't think he has a bike anymore, though, but yes. Thank you, Ed.
If I was Tom,
we'll
I'd tell him, go find an apartment.
So would I, man. I mean, that talk about taking on risk. I mean, what are you doing if you're Tom Brady? Thank you, Ed.
All right, guys.
See you, Ed.